look at Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to start the reading at Colossians 4 verse 2 down to verse 11. So Colossians 4 verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I, Paul, am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Now, if you've been tuning in with us in these past few weeks, you will know that we've been looking through the letter to the Colossians. And now we've got to chapter 4. We're in that last chapter. We saw in the last couple of times the instructions given to Paul for the believers in verses 2 to 6, even in restricted times. The instructions were talking to God about others and then talking to others about God, or those two PWs, the prayerful watching and the personal witness. Okay, but now as we're moving on in chapter 4, we're coming well on in the letter. We notice that the subject matter, the content here, takes an interesting turn. It goes from what were practical instructions for Christian living, now it begins to talk about people. And not just people in general, but it speaks about individuals. Ones who are named, particular characters, particular individuals. Now I think that we would all have to agree that one thing that we as human beings find interesting are people. Particular people, their lives, their doings, their characters. It's a real interest for many of us. We can't deny it. Now this can show itself in different ways, in some ways better than others. Let's face it, celebrity gossip is a real attraction. And it sells newspapers, it gets hits on the social media. And the popular reality TV shows, they're all centered around this real nosy curiosity for other people and what they do and say. Okay, now that's not all healthy and good, but this interest in people, it can take other more benign forms. It's quite often that among the best-selling lists for books at Christmas time are biographies, aren't they? We want to read and know about other people and their lives. And then much of human history is centered around the study of certain individuals, particular people and characters. We looked at a couple before, didn't we, on the screen, important people. I was watching a history program the other day about the Emperor Caligula. And there's nothing wrong with a wholesome interest in particular people and other people. Of course, we would all agree that the Bible itself, the Old Testament particularly, contains a lot of narrative about people, individuals and their lives. Moses, Joshua, David, Ruth, Sarah, etc. The Bible contains these stories and they grab interest, often because they're about people. And there's nothing wrong in a healthy way. Not in a gossip way, but in a healthy way, in being interested about other individuals and people. And there's lots of useful things we can learn from them. I did a video talk with Helen the other day about some DVDs and the Christian biography DVDs, Heroes of the Faith. It's great to learn from them. And ultimately, the reason why there's nothing wrong with that interest in individual people is because God is. God is interested in people and the lives of people. And not just celebrities and famous people, but he's interested in poor and insignificant people, ordinary people. He's interested in you. And although these New Testament letters of Paul are packed full of lots of high theology and doctrine, as well as lots of moral and practical instructions, these letters also show an interest in people. And they talk about particular individual people. And there's quite a bit to be gained from this if we look at it and if we don't pass over it. So, this evening, what we're going to look at essentially is two people. We've got two individuals that we're told about, and we can find some things about them. Two mini biographies here in verses 7 to 9. The first is of a man called Tychicus. The other is one named Onesimus. So, first of all, Tychicus. We read him named in verse 7. It says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. Now, who is this man? Do we know anything else about him and his background? Well, we don't know an awful lot, but he is actually mentioned in Acts chapter 20, verse 4. He was a man who was from the province of Asia, that is Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. That's where he came from. But he was accompanying the Apostle Paul in one of his missionary journeys as Paul was going through Macedonia in northern Greece. And he was doing that in around about AD 58. That was approximately 5 years before this letter to the Colossians. So Tychicus, he'd been known to Paul for at least 5 years. He was one of the missionary group back then. And it's very likely that Tychicus was in that meeting over in Troas where Paul was preaching, and he was going on late into the night until midnight, and this man, Eutychus, he nodded off and he fell out of the upstairs window. Tychicus was probably there and he saw all that going on. So he'd been around and he'd been known to Paul, and he was also known in the Asia Minor region for some time in the churches, and that's the region where Colossae was in modern-day Turkey. Now, 5 years on from that, here we are now when the letter's being written in AD 63. 5 years on, and it's clear from what we read here that Tychicus had also spent some time in Rome, and he'd been with Paul there in Rome. But he was now being sent back with this letter, with news, and it says, Paul says, Tychicus will tell you all that news about me. And that's where he is at the moment. And you know, Tychicus himself will also still be active in around another 5 years on from this time, in about AD 68, because we read his name mentioned in the letters to Titus and the second letter of to Timothy as well. So there we are. He's around in the New Testament in various places. Not a lot is said about him, but a few things we can piece together. And what's important and what's interesting is that Tychicus plays quite a key role, because we don't only read about him here in Colossians chapter 4, but we also read almost the very same description of this man in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 21, it says, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. So that's almost the same as what we read here. And all good commentators will agree that Tychicus was indeed the main man responsible for delivering both the letters to the Ephesians and the letter to the Colossians. In the King James Version, you get these little subscripts also at the end of some of the New Testament letters. And those little subscripts at the end have got details of where the letter was written from and then who was responsible for delivering it. And it tells us that this letter to the Colossians was written from Rome, And it also tells us that it was delivered, well, Ephesians was delivered by Tychicus, Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus. So, with these two very important letters, these two important letters that would forever form part of the New Testament, these inspired letters, Tychicus, he was the one who was responsible for bearing the originals, the ones signed by Paul himself. Now, some background. There's some interesting, helpful background and facts about this man, Tychicus. But what we should also take note of here is the way he's described and spoken about here in Colossians 4. It says of him in verse 7 here, it says, he is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. Now, these things that are said here aren't said lightly. They are significant, they're meaningful. Three key descriptors about this man. Firstly, he's a fellow servant in the Lord, says Paul. That is, he's someone who really serves, and he serves alongside others in the Lord. Tychicus is one who has a servant heart, and he saw himself as a fellow bond servant. He was bound by duty to serve the same master alongside others. He was a reliable colleague, says Paul, one who joined me and others in the work, in the hard work of the gospel and in serving the Lord. Paul had worked alongside and known this man at least 5 years. Tychicus was not one who shied away from the work. He wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. He was prepared to roll his sleeves up and get on and do the work with a serving attitude, says Paul, alongside myself and others. And Paul could vouch for this man from his own experience of working alongside him for an extended period. And secondly, it says he is a faithful minister. It's interesting that one of the important qualities that Paul wants to highlight in this whole letter of Colossians is the quality of being faithful. That includes, and that quality includes not just believing, but it includes being true and loyal. If, for example, early on in Colossians, he talks about Epaphras in chapter 1, verse 7, as being faithful. Also, he addresses the Colossians themselves in chapter 1, verse 2, as faithful. And he describes Onesimus in verse 9 of chapter 4 as faithful. He wants to highlight this quality because it's an important Christian quality. This man, Tychicus, he stays true and sound. He remains loyal to the right way. He doesn't forsake or betray it. He is faithful as a minister. Paul is here approving of Tychicus as one who faithfully ministers the gospel, as a good teacher of sound doctrine, who has not strayed from the truth. He knows the truth. And he holds steadfastly to it in his life and in his teaching and in his service. And then thirdly, he is described as a dear brother or a beloved brother. See, we don't just look at him as some kind of official or professional and put him up on a pedestal. But also we hold him and we esteem him as a dear brother. One beloved in the Lord as well. A Christian brother and a friend, and one who's in the church family, as anyone else, as one of us. And we love and we care for him as such as well. He's received and welcomed and loved, as others of us are in the family of God. He's a sinner, saved and loved by Jesus. And really, looking at this, we've had those descriptions about him and the background, and looking at this, we could say that we need more Tychicus is in the church. This Tychicus is a great example of a gospel minister. He's an example of a good pastor or a good deacon. And truly, we should esteem and look out for more men such as Tychicus in our present day. who are faithful ministers, pastors and deacons, who are willing to serve. And also let us uphold them and respect and receive them as men demonstrate these qualities. But also let's remember that pastors, ministers and deacons are also brothers. They're to be loved. They're to be held dear as well, as the apostle here describes him. These ministers are ones among the people. They're one of you. They're human too. And they need that mutual love. And they value that mutual care. Now, given these qualities in Tychicus, what he is, what else does it say? What was he then to do? What was the task that this man Tychicus would fulfill? Well, it tells us, doesn't it? Verse 7 it says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. And verse 8, he says, I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your heart. You see, this Tychicus is the man who would be the reliable messenger to convey certain things. He would bring a news report about Paul, it says in verse 7. So Tychicus would be giving news. He'd be passing on a personal update. And some of this update was no doubt quite sensitive information that you wouldn't wish to write down or put it on the internet. It was required to be held and retained personally, in a reliable, trustworthy source and messenger, as Tychicus was. But it's not just personal updates. This update will be wider than that, because it says in verse 8 that he would tell them about our circumstances, says Paul. That is, he would also be speaking about the wider circumstances of the Christians and the gospel progress in Rome, where Paul was, how things were going. Tychicus would give a proper, reliable assessment of the circumstances and the work of the mission over in Rome, the chief place of influence in the world at that time. And Tychicus would have experience of that work. And Tychicus would bring a lot of knowledge and expertise in the work of that mission and how Paul and his comrades were approaching that. And he would bring information about practical and spiritual issues that they faced there. And he could bring that expertise and knowledge, and he could share that with the Colossians, and he could serve them, and he could bring the Colossians on in their work and mission with the expertise that he learned in Rome and what was going on there. You see, Tychicus was not just a talking head, but he was a man of experience and expertise and service and practical wisdom, who would be an asset to the church in the Colossians. And what's more, if Tychicus, having listened at length to Paul personally, as well as Tychicus being with others such as Timothy and Luke, he'd rub shoulders with them, Tychicus would be well acquainted with apostolic teaching, thinking, theology and outlook. And he then was delivering the letter, wasn't he? So he would not only hand it over, but I'm quite sure that he could also further explain it. He could answer questions that people might have about the contents. He could explain further and expound it, what Paul meant and how this would apply. He could convey all its teaching to them and all it was designed to do for them. So it wasn't just a dead letter. You see, but it was a living letter embodied through him and his teaching and his thinking and his understanding and his life and his serving. So Tychicus, personally, through his ministry, will then encourage their hearts. The idea is not just that he'll comfort them, but he will instruct and empower them to persevere and endure in the truth of Christ, as it's all written in this letter. So Tychicus is a great example of a faithful minister or pastor for us in the church today. Let's take note. Let's learn from looking at him and the importance of that ministry in the church and such individuals. We can esteem them and pray that the Lord will bring more men like this. And also then the second character that we have, I mean, looked at Tychicus, the second character is one named Onesimus, there in verse 9. Onesimus, who is coming along with Tychicus. And what do we know about this individual, this Onesimus? Any lessons or helpful things we can learn from him? Well, yes. And he makes a very interesting and a very relevant character study. What we know about Onesimus is actually mainly to be found in another New Testament letter. That little letter that's written to Philemon, which Kathleen read before. Onesimus is actually the main personal subject of that letter. So what can we say about him and his story? Well, Onesimus, in his younger days, was someone who had lived and worked in Colossae. In fact, he was once a servant, a slave, in the household of a man called Philemon. Now, Philemon's home was a Christian home. They even had some church meetings in the house. And Onesimus, in his younger days, he'd lived and he'd worked in this environment, in a Christian household. But this young slave, Onesimus, what does he do? Well, he has other ideas. We don't know exactly what influenced him, but he decided he didn't want to stay in that Christian home with Philemon and the others and all that church stuff. So he decides to rebel, to run away. And it's quite possible that Onesimus stole some of his master's money to fund himself in this runaway. He could have taken quite a lot of money because he managed to get himself a long way off. So where did he take himself? Well, if you were a young person attracted to a better lifestyle, wanting something more, wanting the best the world could offer, where would you go to find it? Well, you'd go to the big city. With all of his offers, attracted by the city lights. So Onesimus, he does that. He goes to the great and glorious Rome. The greatest city of its day. The centre of all culture and money and glamour and pleasure. Yes, he thinks, I'll find all I want there. Well, this Onesimus, maybe for a while he thought he was living a great life. He could spend the money, he could live the life. We don't know exactly. But you know what? For all that stealing away from Colossae, he couldn't run away from the truth of God. And somehow, some way, in the providence of God, this Onesimus over in Rome, he comes into contact with Christians there. In fact, no less than the Apostle Paul himself. Maybe Onesimus had come to realize that his runaway life was a mess and he'd spent it all. And then he sought out Christians in Rome. Christians like the ones he'd known back in Colossae. Or maybe it was simply by chance that he stumbled across them. We don't know. But in God's way and in God's time, Onesimus the runaway slave came to faith in Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Apostle Paul in Rome. Oh yes, Onesimus stole and ran away from his earthly home and master. But ultimately, he couldn't run away from God. Onesimus became a Christian. And then having done so, he changed from living a life of pointless, useless waste to being useful, as it says in Philemon verse 11. See, the name Onesimus itself means useful. And now, knowing Jesus Christ and serving him through the Lord Jesus, Onesimus now could live a life that lived up to his name. He can be what he was made to be. Now, having become a Christian, begotten and born into God's family, as Paul says in Philemon 10, having been saved, converted, repented, having been discipled in the faith by Paul, well, now this runaway, the right thing for him to do was to now go back to his master's house, to Philemon and the church at Colossae. And you might think, oh dear, how awful to go back. I mean, how would he face them? But look what Paul says about him here in Colossians, in this letter to the church at Colossae. Never mind what it says in the letter to Philemon, just look what he says to the church here in verse 9. He says, Onesimus is coming. He is our faithful and dear brother who is one of you. Oh, Onesimus, yes, you know him. That runaway, that useless, good-for-nothing tearaway. Well, you thought you knew him. But I am commending him no more as a useless slave, but as a faithful and dear brother. No more dishonest, but trustworthy. No more someone to beware and avoid, but someone to embrace and receive. And that's the wonder of the gospel in action. It takes this young man, Onesimus, and it changes him. It turns him around, and all the past is forgiven, and he has a new life in Jesus. This is a real life example of the parable that Jesus told of the prodigal son who returns and is forgiven. It's great. And the church could and should rejoice in that. Now, as I'm saying all this about this character, Onesimus, I want to ask, what about you? Maybe you are someone who, like Onesimus, has lived in a nice home. And maybe you've been with Christians. Maybe you were brought up and you went to church perhaps. But then, like Onesimus, you've had other ideas. You've decided to rebel or to go your own way. Go look for a better life. Carve out one for yourself. Maybe you've taken yourself physically away from the church and you haven't attended for a while. Or away from a Christian home. Although you still might be physically, outwardly with Christians and God's people, really in your heart, you're far away. And you have been for some time. Maybe you've been trying to run away from God. It could be the case, though, that like Onesimus, you've begun to question whether running away really was such a good idea. And perhaps in this time of lockdown, you've been thinking again. Circumstances have caught up with you. And there's not so much freedom and money and all that now. And you've been reevaluating. You've been reconsidering. It could be that you are someone who has not been to church for ages. But now in the lockdown, you're watching this and other things on the internet again, from a distance. Maybe this is God's word speaking straight to you. You hear about this Onesimus and you think, that's like me. Well, hear the lesson of God's word. Come back to the Lord. Stop running away. And like Onesimus, turn to Jesus Christ. For this is not only the right and the true thing to do, but it's the blessed thing to do. The gospel says that if you do so, if you turn back to the Lord, you will be welcome. It does not matter what you may have done before, how bad you've been, how far you've gone astray or run away, you can be forgiven in Jesus. And not with Jesus, you don't just have to move on, but actually with Jesus you can come back. Even to the one that you stole from and betrayed, you can be welcomed back. Wow. The arms are open wide to receive all who come back. And if you do so, you can be cleansed. Your life can be truly turned around and made meaningful and useful in Jesus. What you were born to be. You see, God is interested in people. Really identifiable people like you and me. And God knows you by name and your life and all that's in it. And people are important. Their lives and characters are important. And they're not passed over in these inspired writings. And it reminds us that you and I are important and God's interested in us. How good and helpful it is to read, to learn from these people like Tychicus and Onesimus. And let us not pass over their names without thinking on how their lives and their stories might be helpful and apply to you and me and to us all in the church today. Tychicus, he'll tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. Amen.